op-ed outrage.
Truly a threat to democracy itself.
Dallas cop opens fire.
She entered into the victim's apartment believing it was her own apartment.
Remembering the unforgettable Burt Reynolds.
Breaker, breaker, this breaker's looking for the bandit.
You got the bandit, come on back.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by TheraWorks Relief.
Good morning, I'm Steve Kaifin. President Trump was in Billings, Montana last night, but a lot of what he said was about the bombshell that rocked Washington. CBS's Weijia Jiang says he went on the attack over an anonymous New York Times op-ed.
Is it subversion? Is it treason?
President Trump continued on the war path he has paved against the New York Times for publishing an op-ed it says was written by a senior administration official.
For the sake of national security, the New York Times should publish his name at once. I think their reporters should go and investigate who it is.
The anonymous piece paints a stunning picture of what the author describes as anti-Trump resistance inside the White House. In Washington, the revelation set off a wild guessing game.
The vice president, that was my first thought.
And a flurry of denials from the president's inner circle.
I think it's a disgrace.
It's not mine.
You read that op-ed?
No.
Nearly every cabinet member issued a statement to cross their name off the list of potential suspects, noticeably missing Attorney General Jeff Sessions.
There are new comments from Mr. Trump's attorney about the idea of the president answering questions from Special Counsel Robert Mueller. We're live with CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
The agonizing back and forth between the president's lawyers and the special counsel, which has been going on all this year, seems to have borne some fruit. Mr. Trump's attorney, Rudy Giuliani, tells CBS News that the president would be willing to answer Mueller's written questions after the Trump legal team reviews them in advance, as long as they're strictly related to his campaign's dealings with Russia. What about beyond that? Well, Giuliani says let's see how the first round goes. For now, he says, there is no commitment from the president to answer any questions that might touch on whether he has obstructed justice while in office. Now, Mueller could try to subpoena the president, but that would prompt a drawn-out battle in court over whether the special counsel can compel the testimony of the sitting commander-in-chief. Steve.
It's been a wild week for the Senate Judiciary Committee, from noisy protesters to the release of confidential documents in the confirmation hearing for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh.
After 2 days of lengthy, often tedious, and sometimes tense questioning, Kavanaugh is off the hot seat, at least directly. Today, the Senate Judiciary Committee will hear from witnesses testifying on behalf of Kavanaugh, such as members of the American Bar Association. But many are interested in hearing what John Dean will have to say. The former White House counsel for President Nixon is scheduled as a witness who will testify on behalf of the Democrats. A vote on Kavanaugh's nomination isn't expected until later this month. Bill Rakoff, CBS News, Washington.
Twitter's message to right-wing conspiracy theorist Alex Jones is short and simple. He's been banned from the social media platform. Live to CBS's Peter King.
Well, Jones was trying to make a point about free speech when he heckled Senator Marco Rubio during an interview earlier this week.
Marco Rubio, the snake. Little frat boy here.
He claims his First Amendment rights are being violated, but Twitter calls his videos and other material abusive. Now it's joined four other platforms in limiting or banning him outright. Some free speech advocates say there's a lack of transparency about how these companies make that kind of decision. The Electronic Frontier Foundation says the Jones case is almost a distraction to the real debate over transparency. Steve?
An investigation's underway this morning in Dallas after a cop headed home and a tragic series of events unfolded.
Dallas Police Sergeant Warren Mitchell says the officer walked into the wrong apartment, thought she saw an intruder, pulled her gun, and shot the man who actually lives there.
The responding officers administered aid to the 26-year-old male victim until the paramedics arrived, at which time he was transported to an area hospital where he was pronounced deceased.
Police say they don't know why the officer walked into the wrong apartment or why she started shooting. They've put the officer on leave and say the district attorney has joined the investigation. Alan Skaya for CBS News, Dallas.
The fall fire season has yet to begin in California, but state fire officials say their budget is drained and homeowners have already put in $1 billion worth of claims because of losses. Joseph Spencer of KHSL-TV has the latest on a blaze in the northern part of the state that shut down a long stretch of a major interstate.
Crews on the ground and in the air worked hard and tried to get containment on the fire. But right now, there isn't an end in sight.
We have direct fire suppression and we have indirect fire suppression. So that's where we're building the lines. Direct would be right next to the fire's edge. Black, 1 foot in the black, as we say.
The fuel type is predominantly heavy timber through tough terrain.
Forecasters are watching Tropical Storm Florence as it heads toward Bermuda. It could pose an East Coast threat next week, perhaps as a hurricane. And CBS's Jim Krasula says it'll be a wet weekend in store for millions of people.
Parts of 9 states in the Mid-South and Midwest are under flood watches as what's left of Tropical Storm Gordon interacts with a stalled weather system. Jeff Sasser's been surveying flooding near Montgomery, Alabama.
And it's just almost like a death. I mean, the feeling's there. You've lost everything. A lot of people have.
Off and on heavy rain as much as 6 inches or more will fall through the weekend in much of the nation's midsection.
In his memoir, Burt Reynolds wrote, "Nobody had more fun than I did." The actor and sex symbol's death at 82 has us looking back at his imprint on Hollywood. Entertainment Tonight's Kevin Frazier.
Don't beat this river.
The 1972 thriller Deliverance marked Reynolds as a standout talent, quickly turning him into one of Hollywood's biggest moneymakers in the 1970s and 80s.
Sorry, I don't want to get married.
He starred alongside Sally Field in Smokey and the Bandit.
Will you unzip me?
Sure. Reynolds dated Field, who he once called the love of my life.
Does this thing move?
She was the best actress I ever worked with.
Reynolds turned down notable roles, including Han Solo and James Bond, but agreed to posing as Cosmopolitan magazine's first nude male centerfold, cementing him into pop culture history.
Reynolds called that pose his biggest mistake. His comeback featured an Oscar nomination for Boogie Nights. The NFL opened its season last night. Super Bowl champion Philadelphia beat Atlanta, but CBS's Deborah Rodriguez tells us that was far from the only story.
Don't ask if your dreams are crazy.
While Nike's new Colin Kaepernick ad got all the pregame press, it was the group that sang the national anthem that set the internet on fire at the NFL season opener in Philly. After hometown Boys to Men sang the Star Spangled Banner, the Twitterverse was unanimous. The a cappella singers should be there to perform at every game. One user even daring to say it was better than Whitney Houston's version at the Super Bowl in 1991. Not one player seen taking a knee. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
About the Kaepernick ad, President Trump tweeted this morning, "What was Nike thinking?" And that's the World News Roundup for Friday. The broadcast is produced by Paul Ferry. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.